Do we have time to chat? Just a second? Does anybody want to chat about anything? Not a heck with you then. I'm going home. Oh, the gossip about Teresita. Well, let's see. Where do I begin? I had a strange breakthrough about it, and I'm rewriting it yet again. I've been writing this book for 15 years, so I guess I'm not in any hurry. But I met a man over the phone, he called me, who has been working on a story about Teresita since the 1930s. He's got six crates full of Teresita material, including 100 family photos. Those of you who don't know, Teresita was my great aunt. She was known as the Saint of Cabora, and they used to call her the Queen of the Yaquis. And her warriors raided Nogales, Arizona, 100 years ago this last August, and they raided it yelling, Viva la Santa de Cabora, and they blew up the customs house. So I think that's pretty wonderful. But so more and more people are starting to write about her and experience her. And I've had some really interesting kind of experiences studying with various medicine people from various traditions about her. And the experiences have been very strange, hard to even talk about. I might put them in a different book because it's been, I just don't want to seem like some kind of, you know, insane new age shamster, you know, with my groovy experiences. So, but it's been really remarkable. And I feel her presence quite a bit. And I finally made the breakthrough, so I'm going to have it written. So anybody who's been waiting, because I keep talking about her and everybody's getting impatient, but it's going to happen soon. And feels good for some reason. I'm living in Louisiana. It just seems like the right place to do it. So, you know, the life there really gets me going. I don't know why. Plus the Zydeco. Bubba? Bubba the Javelina? Brian, I met a Javelina named Bubba, and we became friends. And he was in this place outside of San Antonio called Buffalo Rome, which is one of these mad ranches. Anybody been there? It's a mad ranch run by women who live with these creatures. They've got tigers and bears. They've got mountain lions and timber wolves, beefaloes, ostriches, pigs, elands, these really, like this satanic gang of donkeys that chases you around. And I had had an experience when I was living here out hiking. I'd always whined that I had never seen javelinas, you know. And I was out hiking in East Saguaro and came around the corner and woke one up. And he scared me so badly, I did a minor space launch, you know, because he came barreling out of the stuff. So Bubba came out at this place, Buffalo Rome, and I was astounded to know that he knew his name, and he was quite friendly, and he was following me around, wanting to be petted, you know, and I'd scratch him and pet him. But they had a pen with timber wolves a little distance away, and for some reason, Bubba would realize there were wolves over there and go insane, and I'd be petting him. Suddenly, he'd go, wah! And he'd go attack the wolves, and then he'd come back to be scratched some more, and then he'd look up and go, yeah, boom, and go back. And the upshot of this, which is something I want to use for a title for a book, is when we were talking to the women, they said, oh, Bubba, get crabby sometime. So I want that to be the title of a book, Bubba, get crabby sometime. And I always joke around because my Cajun friends in Louisiana had a lot of trouble with urea. So we always joke around that we had a UX and it's now Euro. So they call me Bubba Euro. Oh, my. Neruda was a big influence on me. Asian poets were a big influence on me when I was starting to write. Ursula Le Guin was a big influence personally, not so much her writing. And a lot of the Latino Chicano poets and writers, Rudy Anaya, another big personal influence on me because he's one of the first, you know, really known writers I got to talk to. And I could go on forever. You know, Ed Abbey was a big influence on me. Tom McGuane was a big influence on me. Diane Wachowski, the poet, was a great early influence on me. Right now, I still fall over quivering when I read Mary Oliver, so I'd have to say Mary's probably a huge influence. Oh, you like her too? Couldn't you just kiss her? In Wandering Time, I say, I'll send her chocolates on any Valentine's Day. I love her so much. There are a lot. You know, if you're going to write, you got to read. And I've always been a book vacuum cleaner, so sometimes I go through these periods of mad fever, you know, where I've got to read a lot of somebody, and then there's nothing left to read, so I find somebody else, and I read all their books. Yeah. Yeah. I always felt like Stu. You know, I always felt like I was some other creature and I couldn't figure out what I was. Era más mexicano que las tortillas, man. Pardon? Sure. Oh, yeah. Mexicanos, you know, we're everything. I've got an African-American niece. I've got relatives who are Wong Urrea in Mexico City, Chinese. We're everybody. I've got German people in my family, the Stoss family, you know. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I think about that a lot. I'm not sure. I find myself in this weird bridge position, you know, where I seem to get along with every ethnic group because every ethnic group shows me mercy, kind of like Dave the Warrior did. Do you know what I mean? And I find that's really powerful for me because you have to listen, you know, and you have to listen, I think, with your heart and your soul, and people are willing to open their lives to me. For example, working on Teresita, you know, nobody likes people trying to do cheap shopping in their medicine traditions. Yet medicine people from many, many tribes, without my asking, have sort of adopted me and taken me in. And that's a great thing. You know, it's a responsibility, too, because then you have the trust to not betray secrets. You know, but I think it's something I learned working in Tijuana, that I got to tell those people's life stories, like Papa Torres, and I'm trying really hard to do them justice. So I think that does come from my background. Yield. It's Leo. Leo. Is that it? Yeah. Go Sherman.
One of the things he said that there were certain things that he knew that he would not write.
Absolutely, I agree.
He felt that if he was in a position to censor others, he would do so.
It's a very delicate thing. You know, Sherman's position is that he doesn't want to know. He himself, you know, because I was with him when he was having a knockdown battle with a guy, and I happened to be between them, so I just leaned back, you know, let him go at it. And he said, you know, I don't want to know about Apache medicine. I don't want to know about Navajo medicine. It's none of my business. Why do you think it's your business? And I thought it's a brilliant point. And in the middle of this conversation, because Sherman knows what I've been doing with Teresita, he slowly turned and looked at me, you know. And he got this look on his face like, I'm going to have to get you. But I think he's right. You know, I came to a moment when I realized that when you're a writer, you know, sometimes you want to show off. And I think a lot of writers want to show off what we've learned. Look at this word I've learned. Look at this plant I've learned. But it's not, I don't need that plant. And you as the reader don't need the plant, but the people who use it sacredly need the plant or the word or the concept. So what I have to do is be really careful. And my position has been, also, you know, when you get into things like that, things happen. And I didn't think things happen. They happen. So I don't want to know anymore either. So now I'm focusing a lot of my studies on books, you know, because I can get away with, she was a midwife, for example. And, you know, it's fascinating to me to hang out with midwives, for example, and to talk to them, or birthing coaches. She was an herbalist, so I can study books about herbs. And I don't have to reveal something I shouldn't know, or if I know, I shouldn't reveal because it's been entrusted to me. And I think Sherman's right in a real sense, you know. I just want to be really careful with this stuff. And I have to say, those of you who've been following the Teresita saga know that I've tried to weasel out of it for years because I didn't think a man should write it. And thank God that all the women writers I went to in my cowardice all said, hey, she's your aunt, man. You know, but forcing me to try to change the way I thought a little bit. But, you know, if you just study the herbal part, you get all kinds of cool stuff. I've got a great book from Mexico called Plants That Kill. And it teaches you how to kill people with plants. Estramillo, if you're looking for one. If you make a soup out of it or a tea out of it, it'll kill people. But if you make a cigar out of it and let them smoke it, it cures tuberculosis. It's good to know the different, you know, just enough for the book. I'm not going to set up some sort of hands-on healing practice when I'm done. One last one before we go get a hamburger. Anything?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. No. Well, let me see. I was five, so I might have. Who was she? Oh, yeah, I know her. Oh, you did? Yeah. And was she gone? The Beatles. There you go. There you go. All you need is love. Thank you.